It's nice to be here with you again. As Mr. Magnin said, we've been 3 days in a row, which is wonderful. Passover and Night to Be, and now, of course, the first holy day. I suppose we could have four, right? If we would have shifted back one day, then we'd have the first holy today and Sabbath tomorrow. You know, we could have moved it anyway. It's nice to be here. It's lovely to be here. We did have a very fine meal last night. A meal, not just the physical food, which was great, and the ladies had done an outstanding job. I'm sure everybody, almost everybody here knows, was the decorating. Thank you, ladies, for everything you did. It was very, very nice. And the food was great, and of course the spiritual foods also with us being there together, people of a like mind, was also felt. It was a camaraderie last night. It felt very nice. I have a mini Bible study, or mini study for you today. We've thrown lately this term out, which I think we all understand, but I want to go through it anyway, being a basic topic. The statement we've thrown out is, you know, it's physical versus spiritual, or it's physical to spiritual even. So by the way, is the title of the message, is physical to spiritual. What does this mean? Again, we've just kind of thrown it out there. You know, we talked about the Ten Commandments, and we've said, well, there's physical parts of that, and there's spiritual parts of that. Again, it may seem very basic, but let's go back and take a peek at some scenarios that hopefully will help in our understanding as to what's going on in the statement. We say, well, it's physical versus spiritual, or you can understand it physically, or you can understand it spiritually, or you can understand it in both. I can understand the spiritual principles, and I can see how it's applied in physical life, right? I mean, that's pretty much what we would say. One of the first things said to mankind, and it continues to be true today, is that sin brings death. It's one of the very first things that was told to mankind. Sin will bring death. This is one of the first things said to Adam and Eve. One with a mind, meaning mankind. This was not said to the animals. It was not said to the trees. When we've been through that, it's not said to the any part of creation other than man who could understand what God was saying when he said, sin brings death. Man was meant to understand what God meant, what God said, when he said that. We can further see that, and we can turn there. Again, we're doing a mini study here, so there will be extra scriptures. In Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, Ezekiel 18 and verse 20, it says, the soul that sins shall die, the son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son any longer. You know, we're going to judge each one according to him or herself, and the soul that sins will be the one that dies. Romans 6:23, we won't turn there, but it simply says, the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. Again, the first things that were told to mankind, and it continues to be true today, is sin brings death. It is this understanding that sin leads to death, physical or spiritual. Is this understanding that sin leads to death, physical or spiritual? I'm going to propose a whole bunch of scenarios for you today, too, and you have to think about them. Well, this is a spiritual lesson. It's a spiritual understanding, but we see it physically, do we not? God started in a place of spiritual understanding with a spiritual lesson, but mankind refused to live accordingly and so brought the physical lesson upon themselves. Do I feel like I'm in a grandstand right now? I think I'm echoing. I feel like we're like in the Colosseum and there's 100,000 people and we're just broadcasting. Anyway. I can hear myself over and over again. I don't want to hear myself other than the one time. Yes, I know that was silly. Okay. We regressed, as it were, though, when we failed to learn this lesson. God started in a place, again, with spiritual lesson. Mankind refused to live accordingly so and brought the physical lesson upon themselves. We regressed. We went backwards. And what we see biblically from that point forward is God reaching back to mankind, who said, I want physical. This is what I want. To help a physically focused creature begin to understand that even physically trying to live apart from the spiritual will not work. Hear that? I do that. Does that help? No, it doesn't. I don't know. Anyway. Adam and Eve went against a spiritual truth and chose the physical. And as they had already been told, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will certainly die. That's what they were told. I think that even our frailties that we have, you know, we have things that we are weak in or we're struggling with or infirmities and sicknesses. You know, sometimes we even wonder, well, what's all that about? I mean, why do we have this? Why do I have to be sick? Well, even all of those things were meant for you physically to understand that physical ends. It doesn't go on. You have to focus spiritually. All of those things. And we want, well, why is this happening to me? Well, I wish it wasn't happening to you either, whatever that may be. I wish it wasn't happening to me. But it's still meant to teach us something. So God allows those things at times, even deaths of loved ones. Well, what's that about? Why do they have to die? Well, it's a physical lesson meant to be understood spiritually. Let us consider some comparisons, again, in contrast to this physical and spiritual concept. If I say that you need to sacrifice a lamb, bull, or goat, is this physical understanding or spiritual? Well, the Israelites lived this out day after day after day after day after day, physically seeing animals killed for sin. Well, it's physical. You can see it. There's bulls and there's goats and there's doves and there's all the different things and lambs, and we're killing it all and we're watching what happens when you sin. It brings death. That was the lesson they were supposed to learn, but it was physically being carried out. Yes, one could ask why, which I basically alluded to part of that, and one would most definitely receive a spiritual answer. But asking why and understanding why are part of a spirit-led mind. There you got it. Echo is gone. But asking why and understanding why are part of a spirit-led mind. Again, that is the point. Understanding the lesson. Understanding why. These physical actions were meant to lead one to begin understanding spiritual lessons, to know why. I mean, that's what all these physical lessons that we're learning now are about. Again, basic lessons. To see a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, is that a physical lesson or a spiritual lesson? It's a physical lesson. Cloud, fire. Cloud moves, fire moves. Cloud staying, cloud's not staying. Fire's moving, cloud's moving. Physical. I can see it. To trust that God is in the cloud or the pillar of fire, that he will lead you correctly, is that physical or spiritual? Well, it's both. It depends on the heart of the one following. Will God lead correctly, I may ask, as an example? If you are wanting to follow God, well, then he's leading you correctly because you're following God and he's going to lead you. If you are after something else, maybe what I can see around me, then I may question what is God is doing. What is he doing? Why is the cloud sitting here now for a year? It's not moving. He told us we're going to the promised land. It is not moving. Why am I still sitting here? We often think, well, they got up and they rose. They got up and they rose. And daily, they just kept moving around. It's like, no, there were times when the cloud just didn't move for months. It just sat there. And they were like, okay, what do we do? Well, you camp and you focus on God and you wait. And then there are other times when it was the very next day and it moved. God was saying, you know what? You need to follow me. You need to watch me. It's a physical lesson, but you better understand it spiritually, what I'm trying to teach you. To not see God and trust that he will lead you and to follow, that's a spiritual lesson. That's where you are. You have not seen Jesus Christ standing before you. You have not seen the cloud or the pillar of fire in physical form before you. You have to have faith that Jesus Christ exists, that God exists, and that they are leading you to the promised land, as it were. And of course, our case, we talk about eternal life being that promised land, and that we will follow that. That is spiritual. That is not physical. It is a difference. Along these lines, these biblical scriptures, one can see physical lessons, number one, a mixture of both, as one might be making a transition, beginning to understand some, and then one who is truly focused spiritually. Like everything matters as much as it helps my spiritual life. That person is focused spiritually. Someone who says, you know, I this isn't good for me because I'm not getting my food. I want to eat. Well, you're focused physically. Someone who says, well, you know, God provides that food, and I need to pray to God because he's going to give me that food that I need. Well, you're kind of in the middle. You know, you see that God's there, he provides those things, but you're still really focused on what you need and what you want, right? There's transitions in there, and I think we're aware of that as we grow. Everybody's on a different growth spot, even as we all grow, and we have to recognize that too. But then to the one with spiritual understanding, let's say you're one focused spiritually. So you're focused spiritually, but you're still in this life. What do you do? Well, I think that that's easily said, as also living one's physical life according to that spiritual understanding. I'm not living my spiritual life according to physical understanding. I'm living my life, my physical life, according to spiritual understanding. You see the difference there? It's where I come from. Now, again, one can be in transition, beginning to understand the spiritual. I'm physical. I can see the spiritual. I'm beginning to understand. I want to live that way. I'm trying to live that way. And that's good. I think we're all there at times, you know, maybe all the time. And there's also a point, though, where I have to, if we're growing in the faith and the truth of God, where I say, I am focused spiritually on God wants, what he wants, what he's teaching me, how I'm supposed to live, and I'm going to apply that to my physical life. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2 and verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God for righteousness. If righteousness came through law, then Christ died in vain. Again, point being, we are crucified with Christ. It is him living in us. We are not to live physically any longer. Not focused physically. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. You know, when we first started here, I was still trying to get the coconut. I had coconut still. I snuck a cookie from last night that was left over and ate one just before coming up. And that was probably not the smartest thing to do. I enjoyed it, but it wasn't the smartest thing to do. I was focused physically. I wanted that cookie. Ate that cookie. Again, maybe not necessarily sinful, but probably not the brightest. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. By the way, I had two. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14 says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him no longer. Therefore, and this is very important, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passing away. They're leaving. Behold, all things are becoming new. Very important. Starting over. Let us compare and contrast a few examples to the Bible, again, to help emphasize what we continue to talk about. Turn with me to Exodus 16 and verse 4. We'll look at a few examples here. Again, I want to really emphasize on your mind this physical to spiritual aspect. We will continue to talk about this, as everybody is, throughout the coming year. Throughout the holidays, throughout the coming year, you're going to hear physical points, but they're supposed to all lead spiritually. You know, in the Bible, we're trying to continue to grow spiritually. And again, we can learn how to physically live through the Bible. That is absolutely true, too. But we need to understand, again, and that's why I want to emphasize this, the differences and the comparison and contrast of these scriptures. And it's Exodus 16 and verse 4. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain down bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather at a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. Again, he gave them manna. Remember, he didn't just give them manna. He gave them rules with the manna. Remember, he said, you will collect it this time. You'll collect a double portion on the Friday, and you will not go out on the Sabbath. I'm going to give you this bread, and I'm going to test you and see if you will understand that yes, this is a physical lesson. You're gonna get your bread. You know, I'm pulling you at you. Hey, I know you're hungry. I know you're focused physically. Here's the food you want. Now let's see if you'll begin to understand the laws that I'm going to put around it. I want you to begin to make the transition to what this really means. This, brethren, is a physical lesson. It's a physical lesson. Turn with me to John 6 and verse 48, which we have read already. Let's turn there again with that in mind. John 6 and verse 48. John 6 and verse 48, speaking of this manna, of this bread, Christ says of himself, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate that manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. It was a physical understanding. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the entire world. Spiritual understanding. There's nothing physical in understanding how you eat of the flesh of Christ. That's why the Jews at the time did not understand that. What are you talking about? But you understand it because it's a spiritual understanding. Have you ever wondered why fasting works? You ever wondered why that works? And we'll talk about this more another time, because there's quite a bit to it, actually. But just a point for here now is, if I'm always focused on how I physically survive versus if I can fast and say I'm not so focused, I want to focus on God and be closer to you, is there any reason why we should doubt why fasting works? The water, Exodus 17 and verse 6. Exodus 17 and verse 6. You know, they said, I want food. Give me food. You're not giving us any food. He gave them manna and then wanted to teach them lessons. He kept trying to fulfill their needs, give them what of what they needed, but he kept trying to say, but I'm here bringing you here for a reason. I'm trying to teach you something. Here in Exodus 17 and verse 6 says, behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the Lord. Physical lesson or spiritual lesson? Well, it's a physical lesson in its way, but he also had it come out of a rock, which is, how did that happen? Because it's not physically possible. So he began even there to say, okay, here's what you needed. You want water. Here's your water. Well, I'm not going to just take you a day's journey or a couple days' journey and bring you to a river to get the drink. I'm going to hit a rock so you can understand that where this comes from. So they begin again. He's still trying to draw them. There's a reason why this is happening. And he's even saying, I have the power over all these physical things. That's part of it. And I've always thought, and this is probably Daniel personal, just of the parallel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is called the rock. And out of that rock, you know, flows living waters, right? But again, that's more of a spiritual understanding that came later. They did not necessarily have that here. John 4 and verse 13. John 4 and verse 13. Speaking of water, water that comes from the earth, water that came out of that rock, water that comes from a well, here it says in John 4 and verse 13, it says, whoever drinks of that water will thirst again. It's physical. But whoever drinks of the water I will give him or her will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him or her will become a fountain of water springing up into eternal life. Well, how can you understand that physically? So I'm going to walk around and everybody's going, well, Daniel's always wet. Is he like in the rain all the time? I mean, look at all his clothes. They're always wet. He's like a fountain. There's like water coming all over him all the time. Well, no, we're not talking about physical fountain inside my body. We're talking about a spiritual lesson. John 7, while we're here, John 7 and verse 37. John 7 and verse 37 says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood out and cried, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke, what was this? What he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And again, we went through that just very briefly, even on the Passover, that Jesus Christ had to be glorified before the Spirit was going to be given. But again, the part we're talking about here is he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. It's a spiritual lesson. Those who follow God are also lessons to other people. And out of you flow living waters. You show me how to live. How is it that I live? You show me that. How do you show me that? Do you show me that by your spiritualness? Maybe, depending on conversation. But do you also not show that to me how you physically live? I mean, if you're out in the world, well, yeah, you do. Out of this person is going to flow living waters. They're going to show what it is to be a member of the family of God, an upcoming member of the family of God. The sacrifices, physical or spiritual, Old Testament sacrifices, physical or spiritual. Well, they were physical. We understand that. Numbers 28, verse 16 through 19, talks about this entire system of blood. Now, even that without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. That's what it says. And so we have this whole sacrificial system. I guess we can turn there. I hear some of you turning there, so we'll turn there. I was going to try to move along a little bit. I know we have it's offertory in another message today. But Numbers, let's go ahead and turn there. Numbers 28 in verse 16. Says, on the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord. And on the 15th day of the month is the feast. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. And here we are. And you shall present an offering made by fire as a burnt offering to the Lord, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, 7 lambs in the first year. Be sure they are without blemish. Their grain offering shall be of fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah you shall offer for a bull, and 2/10 for a ram. So, I mean, this is talking now about how to redeem even. So, I won't get off much further into that as it continues to talk throughout there. But the sacrificial system. We're supposed to bring these animals into a service and sacrifice them for a physical lesson. But it was meant to be understood and bring us to understand more spiritually. Again, as we're contrasting and comparing physical to spiritual, turn with me to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, talking about this entire sacrificial system that was in place to help teach an entire nation how to come from physical to spiritual in their life with God. That's what that was all about. And a nation as a whole, not just working with individuals in amongst a nation, an entire nation. No matter where you came from, what your backgrounds were, what family you were from, it was that nation. And I mean, I know they're all Israelites, that's what I'm saying, but I'm just saying there were different names within the Israelite people. You hear what I'm saying there. Hebrews 10 and verse 4, it says, for it is not possible that the blood of goats and blood of bulls and goats can take away sin. That was a physical lesson that they were to learn to begin to understand a spiritual concept. But it could not succeed at giving the spiritual promise that was there. It could not do it. But it was just meant to lead them to begin to understand it so they could move from physical understanding to spiritual understanding. And it says there in verse 5, it says, therefore he came into the world. He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In a burnt offering and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offering, and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, Behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And he says, I've taken care now of that reason for that physical sacrificial system. I no longer want you to look to the blood of bulls and goats and lambs. I want you to look to me and my sacrifice. And it's a spiritual lesson. Physical, spiritual. And we even know that further because he says, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. Now it's becoming even more personal. Circumcision of the flesh. Obviously, in circumcision of the flesh, we should know, well, that's physical. You said flesh. You're right, it's physical. Circumcision was a sign of the old covenant. Exodus 12 and verse 44. You can see here that unless one accepted the circumcision in Exodus 12, verse 44, they could not even be a part of the Passover unless you were circumcised. It even said if you have Gentiles or people that come in and they want to partake, they have to be circumcised first or they cannot be a part of the Passover. Physical lesson, but meant to be understood in a spiritual way. Philippians 3 and verse 3. Philippians 3 and verse 3. Here it continues to help us to grow from physical understandings to spiritual ones. It says, For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. I think that says it pretty plainly right there. We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. And last night, brethren, at the night to be observed, that's what we were doing. We were rejoicing in Jesus Christ. Coming out of sin, rejoice. Passover came, solemn occasion. Christ was paying their penalty for sin. You know, it's both a day of, you know, of jubilation, but it's really knowing that we killed him and that we were dying that day too. He says, well, he died for all, then we all died together because we're all of one. And then we have joy. We rejoice with Christ Jesus. And we have confidence in him, not in fleshly things. We're putting that away. Colossians 2 and verse 11. Colossians 2 and verse 11. And remember, as we're about ready to read this, that of the circumcision of the Old Testament was only the males, of course, and that physical lesson that was to be learned there. But here it says, In him you are all of you are circumcised, with the circumcision not made with hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. Having wiped out this handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he was taking it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Jesus Christ simply, and there's people that take this and say, well, he nailed the law to the cross, it's all gone. I don't have time to get into that. I don't think we even need to get into that. He was just saying that I took that penalty of law and death. I paid its penalty. That was what was nailed to the cross because it was in the life of Jesus Christ. But we are of the circumcision. It is a spiritual lesson. They were supposed to understand that. Set apart by God, begin to understand and concentrate on me to what that means and why we are doing this. Physically, they were beginning to learn. They were meant to come through a period of time to begin to say, well, these physical lessons are meant to bring us to our Father to help with better spiritual understanding and they failed. They did not want to learn that. Almost everybody then failed. They did not want to go beyond physical. We've been enough through the Ten Commandments. We don't need to turn to any of those. Again, with the physical lessons of the Ten Commandments and the spiritual lessons of the Ten Commandments, which Jesus Christ exemplifies. And maybe some more obvious ones that we could ask is the temple in Jerusalem. Is it physical or is it spiritual? It's an obvious one. Well, it's physical. It's a physical temple over there. You know, and whatever else may be left of whatever parts of the old temple, right? It's all physical. Your body is the temple of God. Is that physical or spiritual? Well, we'd say, well, it's physical, because I'm physical, but what's inside? What's inside here? Is it physical only? Or is there a spirit of God living here or in you? Remember, brethren, the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We want to be of the Spirit, not of the flesh and the blood. We want to be concentrated on what the spiritual lessons are to bring us to live our lives, not physically focused and how can I apply God's lessons to my physical life. Yes, you should be doing that, but that's not where it should be stopping. It should be, how am I doing that so that I continue to grow spiritually into something else? Which we're getting into here just a little bit. Knowing that we are to live according to the flesh, not according to the flesh, that the flesh is in corruption, it is in corruption. You know, we see that coming out of sin has a price to it. You know, we can see that Jesus Christ paid that price. We can go back and even see the lessons of the Old Testament, the Israelites, and just see, look at the lessons that they needed to learn. Look at all that death that brought on there. We today, especially in our modern world, we think of all of those animals being killed, and we go, what in the world was that like? Can you imagine right now, all of that in here? Everybody over there going, shh, 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 knives flying everywhere and blood flying everywhere and all that going on. I mean, it would be. It'd be a bloodbath. But it was a lesson. It was meant to show them that death or sin has consequences. Exodus 13 and verse 3. What you do in this life will bring consequences. Yes, they can be forgiven. Yes, they can be forgotten. Yes, they can be worked out. Yes, you can even go to your fellow man if that's where the sin lies and work that out with him or her. You should be. When we've already talked about some of that. Exodus 13, I was in 3, Exodus 13 and verse 3. It says, and Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength the hand of the Lord brought you out of this place. No leavened bread shall be eaten. On this day you are going out in the month of Abib, and it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he swore to your fathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey, that you shall keep the service in this month. Now, even right there, you think God had to tell them that, you know, you want all this good stuff? Well, there's land flowing of milk and honey. It's physical. It has all this good stuff. It has grapes this big and olives this big and the best wine you can have and all these things. It's physical. So you really focus on that? I'm going to show you where all that great stuff is. Here's a physical place I'm going to take you. It's the promised land. You want this. And they did. They wanted that. That's where they were focused. It says, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, verse 6, and on the seventh day there shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and no leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your territory. It's all to be gone. It shall be a sign to you on your right hand, or on your hand, and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth, for with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, as he swore to you and your fathers, and gives it to you, that you shall set apart to the Lord all that opens the womb, that is every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the males shall be the Lord's, but every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, and if you will not redeem it, you will break its neck. And all the firstborn of man, of course, we're not going to break man's neck. He says, all of the firstborn of man and your sons you will redeem. So it shall be when your son asks you in a time to come, saying, what is this? Why did this happen? that you shall say, because it was by the hand of God that we came out of Egypt. You remember that lesson too that they failed to learn? God did not let the Israelites rise up and kill the Egyptians. He did not just wipe them out and take them out either. He wanted them to learn something. He went through all these plagues wanting to teach them. These gods you're looking at are false. Look to me, and I will show you by my hand how I will deliver you. It's a physical lesson, but I want your focus on me. And that's what we were supposed to learn then. Verse 21, it says, and the Lord went before them day, we just talked about this, went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night with a pillar of fire to give them light so as to go by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God begins to show that the sacrificial system, that is a physical way to understand the penalty for sin, was to lead to Christ. Follow me. We know that's where it leads. Back in Colossians 1. Let's turn there, please. Colossians 1 and verse 13. Colossians 1 and verse 13. It says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. That's where it leads. In these scriptures in Exodus, God shows us that he is mindful to lead those people who want to follow him away from sin. That's what he's always thinking. How do I come back to where you wanted to go? You want physical. You're focused on the physical. How do I bring you back from focusing physically to wanting to come to where I am? And I think, brethren, as we know, he's not going to force us either. You want physical, fine. That's over there. Enjoy your life, what you think is life, and it'll be over. We see that God is introducing this idea of sacrifice for sin, even a firstborn male, here in Exodus. We see that God wants us to focus directly on him, having faith in how he's leading. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. I better move a little faster here, brethren. I've been slowly turning, but I'm going to speed up. Apologize. Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What is being shown here is a difference in understanding of the whys to the Word of God. First Corinthians 15 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 30, it says, and why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not rise. If the dead do not rise, there is no resurrection. Then let's eat and drink and be merry, because that's just physical life. That's what he says. He says, do not be deceived, though evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness. Do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each one its own body. When we put a piece of a little seed in the ground, we don't know what that is. I mean, we know what the seed is, but it's not done yet. It's just a seed. We want wheat. We want different types of grain. We want apple trees and orange trees. Well, we have to plant the seed. It's dead. I plant it. It grows. It's being talked about here. And he says he's going to give each body, each seed, a body as it grows. So which seed is planted in your life? Do you want the physical body? Well, then go take care of it. Do you want the spiritual body, that seed planted in you? Then nourish it and take care of it. What is growing inside of you, brethren, is waiting to be born. I hope that you really impress on you this biblical concept. I mean, it's what we want. It's the spiritual principles of where we're headed. What is growing inside of us is waiting to be born. This new person who we now live by, that is Christ living in us through the Holy Spirit, made possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, this coming out of sin. Salvation from sin's consequence. This, then, living our lives according to the Spirit and not according to the physical, is an upcoming member of the spiritual family of God. The one who is living spiritually is an upcoming member of the family of God. The one who's living physically is not. You cannot inherit the kingdom of God if you're focused physically and of the flesh. And this physical body that I am meant to reside in, this thing here, even physically we can make the parallels, the temple that houses the member of the family of God, this new person that is growing within me, that is waiting to be born, the seed that has been planted. How you then live out your physical life with this temple matters. And I say that because there are some who have said, well, I'm of the Spirit, so it doesn't matter what I do physically anymore. Not true. We can see physically the difference between bread that has leaven in it and bread that does not. We can see the difference. One is puffed up, the other is not. During these days of unleavened bread, we physically carry out a lesson that we put in our bodies matters. What I put in my body during this week matters. God has said, yeast and risen bread that's all puffed up, it is sin during this time. You will not put that in your body. Okay. We are meant to learn what we are meant to learn is that sin kills us. That is what we're meant to learn. And if we allow sin to reign in this temple that's housing the child of God that was waiting to be born, if I allow the physicalness to reign in my body, this temple to ferment, to take over, to stay in my physical body, then the child that could have grown here will never be born. To understand there the physical, the spiritual lesson. The physical lesson that is meant to bring us a strong spiritual understanding. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. Ephesians 3. I'll begin in verse 14. Ephesians 3 and verse 14, it says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man," or inner woman, your person that is growing within you, this life of God, with God that you have, with his Holy Spirit reigning in your body, which, again, as the Scripture says, you are the temple of God. We know the Scripture. That is what you are. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Second Corinthians 4 and verse 16. "Therefore, brethren, in all these trials that you're experiencing in your life, all these problems that we see all the way around us, maybe problems that we have even, where we have all of these things that bombard us every single day," it says, "therefore," in verse 16 here, it says, "therefore, do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." It is coming to a point eventually, brethren, where it will be born, and the physical will be left behind. One final scripture, 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 1. And this is talking about believing that I can be around sin, that I can have friends who sin, you know, who do, and of course the world does sin. I mean, we're not, obviously as Christ said, I don't command that you take them out of the world, just that you keep them from it, right? We have to live amongst the stuff. But we also have to be very aware of what we allow to be influencing our minds and our hearts. What do we ingest? What is it that I'm going to live by? How do I react when sin is around me? Here in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, this group of people was proud that they could be with someone who was sinning and not sin, but be there to work with the person, to allow them there around them. That's what they were doing. And it says here, in verse 1, it says, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from you." I mean, you're puffed up. You think, well, we can deal with this. It's okay. They can be with us. You know, we need to keep talking. It's like, "For indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged as though I were present him who has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh." Put it away. The flesh and the flesh actions and all that the flesh can bring and the destruction, if you're focused that way, does not belong amongst you. Do not gloat or be proud in that. Your glorying, in verse 6, is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the entire lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Bad company, brethren, can corrupt good habits. We must strive every day to keep the leaven out of our lives. Why? Remember we said that. Well, why do we need to do that? Why? Well, it's a good question. Is it because we need to focus on all those great recipes? The absence of pizza? We need to have a keto diet for a week? Right now, if you do that, oh, you're on a keto diet. Sure, because it's an easy way not to have to explain why I'm not eating bread this week. And obviously, brethren, there are great recipes within unleavened bread. I'm not putting down good food. That's not what I'm talking about here. But this is not the focus. That's not the reason why we strive every day to keep leaven out of our lives so that I can just have a different diet. We can learn some physical lessons, it's true, like the Israelites did in physically moving their camp in haste and not having allowed the bread to rise. Physical lessons. But what truly are we to be focused on? Is it not how to de-leaven our lives? How do you do that? We must be focused on what our inner being, that is, this child of God, needs to flourish. That diet, that is the spiritual lesson. One I hope we can focus on at all times, but maybe, brethren, heightened during these days of unleavened bread.